Gracious and loving Father, we're grateful for the time that we can be here today. We thank you, Father, that we can praise you, sing praises. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, that our hearts, our minds would be open to what you have to say this day. And do pray that my words, my actions would please you, Father. Help each one of us to be sensitive to what your Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as was read, what's there? Oh, let me move that. Okay, good, thank you. So as was read earlier, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and just a few verses in that chapter there today. And the title of that section is called Treasure in Jars of Clay. And when I first heard that verse many years ago, I misunderstood really what was being said there. You know, I thought perhaps it was talking about, you know, me being, you know, worthy in God's eyes, and, you know, it was all about me, you know? But the treasure, well, as I said, I thought it was all about me, you know, me, Michael. But the treasure, as we look at this, is something valuable. And here's something valuable. This is a diamond ring, okay? And this diamond is probably over 100 years old. It was my grandmother's, and it's cut, and nothing is cut these days, okay? It's valuable. Well, this treasure, as we look here, is the gospel of Jesus Christ in each one of us. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is much, much more valuable than this diamond ring. Much more valuable. Priceless. The Apostle Peter tells us that we have this priceless salvation in Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in these jars of clay. So it's not about me, and it's not about you, but it's about the salvation. It's about Jesus Christ in us. We're thankful for this treasure in us. Yet often we ask ourselves, well, if there's this treasure in me, in this clay jar, clay pot, why do I undergo so many difficulties? Why is life so challenging at times? And why is there suffering? And why can I not make it financially? And why do I have broken relationships with people? I ask myself, what is the purpose of these difficulties in my life? Treasure in these jars of clay. Jesus refers to that in Matthew chapter 13. And he talks about this treasure as the pearl of great value that's found, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. And this person finds this pearl, and when he finds it, buries it, goes and sells everything so that they can buy this pearl. Or this treasure. The importance, the pricelessness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and those who believe in each one of us. Many have this idea that good news should be fun. Good news should bring me instant happiness. You know, Debbie mentioned the good news that we have, as Debbie and I, just that we have another grandchild. So that's good news for us. But there's good news that is much more valuable. It's priceless. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Some may not think that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. And why? Well, the idea of suffering. experiences which bring one close to death. They don't sound like good news to the natural person, do they? We look at these verses here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And there may be times when we do feel that we are crushed. And there may be times when we do feel we're in despair. There may be times when we do feel like God has forsaken us. There may be times when we do feel like we've been destroyed. But in Jesus Christ, we are not. We are not destroyed. We are not forsaken. Because Jesus does not leave us. We have this treasure. We have this treasure in these clay pots. And it is there. And it is there. And it will stay there. This treasure within me and this treasure within all you who believe cleanses, it refines. One of the prophets of old said it's like launderer's soap, like soap. You know, soap that had lye in it, a strong chemical that, if not careful, can actually burn you. But it was a strong soap. And there are times in our lives when we feel like there's just a little bit too much lie in the soap. As if, do I feel so forsaken? Why does it hurt? Why is there so much pain in my life? Chipping away the rough edges. Maybe even digging out some of those deep-seated sins of my heart and of my mind. Sin that I'm not even aware of because it's so ingrained in me. But yet the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ cleanses and it digs that out and it removes it. So it may not appear that we have treasure at times. It may appear to be the opposite. But God's power is working in each one of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's power is working in each one of you who know Jesus, who love Jesus. You may only see you like I only see me. But God's power is working. God has committed the treasure of the gospel to these earthen vessels, to frail, weak, dying people, and to people who live humbly. And he has called us to submit to these trials and these persecutions. This poverty, this danger, and want, in order that Jesus would be revealed in each one of us, that Jesus would be revealed in me. This treasure is not my good works. It is not my desire to right all wrongs. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ in me. The gospel of Jesus Christ and you. And we carry this gospel, we carry this death of Jesus in us. And it seems difficult, but yet it brings life. It brings life to us. Jesus is revealed in us. We have good examples in Scripture of men and women of God who lived out these truths in their lives. Men and women of God who allowed Jesus to be revealed in them. We have men like Paul, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, Apostle John, disciples like Timothy and Luke. We have ladies, Phoebe, Mary, that we see about, we read about in Romans chapter 16, in Romans 16. So men and women of God in whom Jesus was revealed, because the gospel of Jesus was in them. And they carried this around, and they let it cleanse them. And they didn't run from the persecution. They didn't run from the difficulties. But they let that stay, and they obeyed, and they honored their Lord Jesus. So that they may attain to the resurrection in Jesus Christ. That they may attain to a better resurrection. Strengthened by this assurance, they went forward despite persecutions and opposition. They knew their trials would end. And these songs that we sang today, I mean, it was momentary. One of those songs there talked about it's momentary what we're going through. It doesn't last that long. And these men and women of God realized that these trials and difficulties were short. Strengthened by this, they continued on. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as I said, will bring about difficulties, and it will bring about challenges in our life. Jesus does say, take up your cross daily and follow me. But yet Jesus revealed in me, Jesus revealed in you, Jesus, the hope of glory, this great salvation that I have in Jesus. As we continue to look at these verses here, Paul says in verse 10, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh, so that death is at work in us, but life is in you. Because Paul, because John, because these mighty men and women of God, the Marys, the Phoebes, because they were willing to suffer for Jesus Christ, others heard the good news of Jesus. The Corinthians heard the good news of Jesus because of Paul, because of his willing to suffer for Jesus Christ. And as we obey our Lord Jesus, and as we walk with our Lord Jesus, we become salty salt and bright lights. And perhaps our suffering in our lives as we obey him, others will see, and others will come to faith. The sufferings and the self-discipline of the apostles was good for others. It benefited the Corinthians. Some of the Corinthian Christians despised Paul, and we read about that in chapters 10, 11, and 12 of the same book. And they thought because Paul had such great sufferings, and they had these wonderful lives of victory, they despised him. And you could see that for your own in those last few chapters of this book of 2 Corinthians. And they did not see that their lives of victory, that the life that they enjoyed in Jesus, was because Paul and men and women like him were willing to suffer. Because through their sufferings, people came to faith. Through their sufferings, people grew in the faith. Through their sufferings, people heard about Jesus. They didn't see this. Paul reminds them of this. It's amazing to think that Corinthians, in their pride and error, in their spiritual weakness, thought that they were better than Paul. That their lives were truly better and more victorious than Paul's. But Paul chose to suffer for Jesus Christ. Paul tells us here, verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. We have the same spirit of faith. And we're called to the same life in Jesus. Paul later says, those who want to live, in another book, those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Paul heard the good news. Paul was willing to suffer so that others could hear. You know, as I read these few verses right here, I ask myself, does Paul's life inspire me? Do I want to be a Corinthian, or do I want to be someone like Paul or Peter or Timothy or Phoebe or Mary? And look at the Romans chapter 16. This is a, I believe, kind of a question that our God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, puts before every one of us who name Jesus. Do I want to do my best for my Lord Jesus? Do I love him? Do I know his love and want that to come into my life? Do I want his love to work its way down to the roots of my soul, so that I may be green for him, so that I may live for him, and that in due time I will bear fruit, and others will see, and others will say, I want that same salvation that you have. Paul served the Corinthians, for it is for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. More and more people give thanksgiving to God. The thanksgiving overflows. Paul, in these verses, writing to the Corinthians, who, reading 1 and 2 Corinthians, you see, you realize that these Christians have a lot of struggles. They have a lot of issues. They're, in many ways, not very spiritual Christians, okay? And Paul writes this letter here. He kind of sets the bar way very high for these Corinthians. You know, he knows the struggles. He knows the sin there. You know, read the first letter. Read this letter. And he knows that they despise him. Read chapters 10, 11, and 12. But he sets this bar for these men and women of God. And he said, we're suffering for you. And then as I read this scripture, I ask myself, and I challenge each one of us here to ask ourselves, am I living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Is my life a life in which I am willing to give my all and willing to suffer? Or am I that kind of Corinthian Christian who's like, I'm going to squabble. I'm going to be involved in this and that. I believe that each one of us here who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior wants to reach that bar, wants Jesus more and more to be revealed in each one of us. I ask myself, does Paul's life inspire me? And I ask you, does Paul's life inspire you? Paul serves that many would hear the good news of Jesus, that the words of Scripture would be fulfilled, as we read in Revelation. And it says in the book of Revelation, then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice, exult, and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. So this good news of Jesus, this gospel of Jesus that is in me, that is in each one that names Jesus as Lord and Savior, let it do its work. Let it cause growth in your life. But there are choices and decisions that you may need to make on a daily basis so that that would be so. Let it work within you. Despite the trials, the sorrows, the tribulations, and the persecutions, let God change you. And this is truly good news in our lives. This is truly a priceless treasure in our lives, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus, for this good news. Pray, Father, that you would help us to take these words of Paul, apply them to our lives, and seek to run that race and fight that fight of faith, to let men, the women of God of old, inspire us, Father, to draw closer and closer to Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.